All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Tuesday, December 6th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we are going to just take a quick look back at week 13 in the NFL, look ahead to week 14, talk about some of the trends we saw come out of last Sunday's games, and take a look ahead. And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that will help you calculate optimal NFL lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You get NBA projections as well with that, and you get base NHL projections also. So all under one membership blanket. It's really all you need to get yourself started for FanDuel and DraftKings. It's free for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after that, and you're all set to go. All right, buddy, we're coming off a pretty strong week in the NFL for us. I'm pretty sure every slate, maybe outside of one, cashed for us on both sites with our lineups. How are you feeling? General mood when that happens, as compared to some other Sundays. Sundays are stressful days for us, for sure. How are you feeling coming out of last week?
Yeah, I mean, I feel great. I think you mentioned Sunday is just a day filled with stress, just because even if one slate's going well, there's always another slate coming up, and there's always injury news, and then there's like a Sunday into Monday. It's just like really intense too, because obviously the spotlight is on football. But yeah, this week was solid. I mean, it started off kind of inauspiciously with Drew Brees being terrible, and so that's one of those things where you just want to shut off the games and just go put your head in a snowbank. But it turned out that a lot of people played Brees, and you know, a lot of the other it was one of the weirder weeks for quarterbacks. Like when you look at the tops of the charts here, like Flacco, Stafford, Dalton, Wentz, like that's for Brees is the other guy. Those are the top five guys in passing yards this week. So it turned out that it didn't wind up killing you, but very strange week. But yeah, it turned out well in the long run there.
Well, quarterback play was something you really needed to. Well, okay, there was one huge landmine in Kaepernick. Kaepernick was a guy that's funny. Kaepernick and Barkley were two guys that we talked pretty extensively about going into the week. We really liked them in terms of values. They both were coming pretty cheap. Kaepernick has a high floor considering what he was sort of doing with his legs. And he was a guy that at one point, maybe like 90 minutes before lock, Kaepernick was in some of our lineups. But then we were taking a look at weather, and we saw that the weather was going to be bad, and we downgraded pretty much everyone's throwing projections.
And nice job on that one, buddy.
Yeah, so that was what a dodge, because my God, he was terrible. That whole game was terrible. Now, we did have the Jordan Howard part of that game, which was great, and that actually was the thing that was able to help us make up for Brees, because you know, Brees was pretty chalk, but man, I mean, we make a joke that we're like, oh, this is just classic. Like, we haven't played Brees all season, and, you know, for better or for worse. And now we're like, was there anything more just lock it up territory than we put him in the lineup and he just can't even throw a touchdown? It was like, it was the first time he hadn't thrown a touchdown in the Superdome for like, it was like a decade or something like that. It was some really crazy number. Was there anything more certain in the whole entire universe than that happening for us on Sunday?
It didn't seem like it. I mean, one of the things about my life, which some people won't know if you're in the listening audience, is that I'm extremely lucky when it comes to the big picture things that matter in life, and wildly unlucky at all the little things. And so that you can pretty much count on things like that happening to me. So maybe the users should get to know that before signing up for our projections. But I mean, overall, things have worked well. Side note on Brees, this is the first time he had thrown three interceptions in a game since 2014. And the first time he had thrown, he did it once in 2014. Never did it in 2013. Never did it in 2012. So, hey, we got one of them, though. That's a DFSR special for you.
Well, the cherry on top of that little poop Sunday was that he was able to throw his last pick on just a totally meaningless pass with time running out when they were down two scores. down two scores. And I was like, oh, perfect. This really couldn't have ended any other way. Anyway, overall, things pretty good. A couple things that I think we can take away from this week. So, what do you do with a guy like Kaepernick? He got benched last game. Up until that point, he had been very good from a fantasy perspective. Excellent. I mean, really one of the top guys overall over the last, you know, month or so. He gets benched at the end of that game. Unclear if it was benched because of the weather. I mean, he was obviously so terrible, and his game wasn't translating at all to be able to like play catch up in the snow. Do you think he's back out there this week, or is it Gabbert? And if he is back out there, do you think we can play him, you know, going into his matchup? Let me just look real quick. Great. He plays the Jets. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the Jets last night, but I was watching a little bit of this game for reasons kind of unknown. But the Jets defense, it didn't even look like they were on the field for the first two drives for the Colts. Like the Colts' first two touchdowns, any college team in America, I think, could have put up a drive the way, like, Dwayne Allen just didn't even have guys on the screen, like, when he was catching balls. Jets defense looked like they had given up. Do you think you can go back to a guy like Kaepernick?
No, I don't. I guess I just don't see the point in doing it. Like, he was already kind of a tricky play, in that there's been so much upward pressure on his price. And so, given the fact that it's even that we now know it's in play for him to get benched if things aren't going well, I'm just not going to play the guy. I certainly not in any kind of safe format, like a double up or anything like that. And, you know, for all the Jets' struggles last week, they're still a top 10 defense on the year in terms of total yards allowed, total points allowed. So I just don't think that's at all where you want to go.
Yeah, I'm probably with you. Like I said, right now he's coming in. There are some not so great matchups for some quarterbacks this week, which is one thing that's driving projections sort of, at least the early on first kind of look at them. They're kind of sort of all over the place.
Well, we should know before we go in. The process for us is there's 4 hours coming up today where we go through every single game log, you know, rewatch some things based on matchups and make all the little tweaks and adjustments that are really what make the system tick. So anything that's showing up in the system now is not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally with you. Some other things that came out of this week, we solidified the nature of some of the running back play in the NFL. Like Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson continue to be two of the most just used running backs in all the NFL. There's so much safety in that. Do you think that, you know, those guys maybe plus Ezekiel Elliott, are we at the point of the season now, you know, short of punt running back situations cropping up, and there really haven't been too many of those this season. Yeah. Just in general, like teams, even with injury situations, and there really aren't a lot as of right now for week 14, but are we at the point of the season now where you're just not forced to, but really kind of need to just pay up for these workhorse, awesome running backs, guys like Bell and Johnson?
No, I think we could still play matchups to some degree. I mean, we saw last week, Jordan Howard was in all of our lineups. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people fell into the trap of feeling like they needed to go double expensive at running back and missed out on a 30 fantasy point game from Howard because he had the best matchup of the week. So I think certainly when you get guys in good matchups like David Johnson, we also have some serious upward pressure on his price. He's almost touching 10,000 on FanDuel now, but you get matchups like him against Miami, like that's going to be pretty enticing for folks. And I think they'll find ways to save up elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, you're going to get running backs against San Francisco and, you know, some of these just truly, truly terrible defenses like the Browns and stuff. And I think that you're going to be able to find value by doing that. So while yes, there is that emerging top tier crop of running backs, I think that there's definitely still room to play matchups.
Yeah, and we're gonna, this would be one thing that we're gonna really have to look at going into this week is some of these guys, you know, like Lamar Miller's price is starting to bottom out some places, and these are guys that we kind of were relying on early in the season as going to be, you know, heavily targeted, heavily played guys, or excuse me, like just heavily used guys in their offenses. It really hasn't been there as much, but then he plays Indiana, so there's gonna be some kind of closer edge decisions at running back. But as of right now, Bell and Johnson are just in almost a class by themselves. And like I said, Elliott is creeping up to that as well, though Dallas doesn't play totally fast enough all the time for him to just get enough carries, kind of. Like, if he's just going to have 20 carries because they're, like, running the clock out, that does kind of pale in comparison to the, you know, 25 or so that you're getting from Bell, or 20, 26 you're getting from Johnson, somewhere in that neighborhood. Like, Bell had 35 touches last week against the Giants. Like, that is...
Yeah, no kidding. Right. And I think you're hitting on something, which is, like, the discussion of floor and ceiling and how it all relates to price. Like, what you're paying for in that top range is you're paying for slam dunk opportunity. And that is something that's a real thing, right? Like, even if you look at LeSean McCoy, who's kind of in that next tier under and who had a good week on a yards basis this last week, still only had 17 carries, right? And that's just not something that's going to happen to David Johnson. So yeah, in that top category, you're going to get your opportunity. You oftentimes can get the goal line touches and all that stuff. But I just think, like, I don't know, at some point, like, DFS would be just easy if you could always play the most expensive players, right? Like, that just tends to not work in really any DFS sport. The question is where to spend up and how to do that wisely. And at some point, these guys could be priced out for me.
And the crazy thing about Bell and Johnson is, like, they're really good running backs and they're, like, pretty good receivers, like, separately. Like, if they're,
yeah,
like,
two players.
Yeah. Basically, these guys get elite level receptions on a week to week basis. So they're just, yeah, that's going to be the thing that we probably take a look at the most. I mean, I'm getting a little tired of writing up some of the same running backs, but every week it just kind of ends up being the correct thing. You know, we're going to take a look at who we write up as our value plays, and this just could be copy-paste territory on some of these guys.
Le'Veon Bell is basically like LeSean McCoy and Golden Tate.
Right.
Well, maybe not Golden Tate last week. Maybe that is segue time.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, actually, that we're seeing. So where we're sort of devoid of punt running backs on a week-to-week basis. And I say this on a week-to-week basis because there have been many times this year where we've thought we've had some very clear opportunities opening up for cheaper running backs. And it just really has, this could be bad luck or whatever, but it hasn't totally panned out in terms of their performances. Teams will say, oh, we're going to lean on this guy, and then they go more of a committee approach. Or we kind of realize that the reason that these guys aren't playing is because they're just not very good. And so, but that isn't necessarily the case at receiver. Last week at receiver, we ended up playing a lot of cheap players that had opportunities open up for them. You know, we talked about the Lions situation. You mentioned Golden Tate with Marvin Jones going out. He was a guy we bumped in projections. We bumped up Anquan Boldin as well, who came, I mean, as close as you can ever come to scoring a touchdown and not scoring last week. Like, his butt was in the end zone and the ball wasn't. So, but, you know, are we seeing more chances at guys like this in passing games with, you know, guys like AJ Green goes down and there's opens up targets there. Jordan Matthews went down last week and, you know, the Eagles try to spread the ball around more. Are the receivers where we're going to be able to find some more of our value going forward?
Yeah, I think we continue to see that kind of, you know, high fives, low to mid sixes value at wide receiver. And I think, you know, arguably just as important here is that there really haven't been any wide receivers on the high end that have been consistently providing value. And it's kind of interesting because going into the season, like, we came off a season last year where you had these top end wide receivers like Jones and Antonio Brown, who were just such locks week in, week out to be the top guys at their position that, you know, last year everyone was just paying up at wide receiver from week to week. But this year it's kind of gone the other way where, you know, those guys aren't providing as much touchdowns. There's been injury concerns all over the place. Guys like Jones have lost some of their value. Some of the other high target guys like Mike Evans just are inconsistent in converting those targets to receptions. So, yeah, I think that very frequently we're finding, you know, that we're able to accurately predict who's going to get the targets, and that's provided a lot of value for fantasy users.
Yeah, and there can be a lot of variance wrapped around that because you are kind of just the targets need to go that guy's direction too. It's sometimes hard to know exactly how quarterbacks are going to operate when they lose. When they lose just their big target guy on a week-to-week basis. And, like, you know, like we said, like A.J. Green, we had to sort of just try to figure out where those targets were going to go. He got hurt early in the game the week before. And, you know, we kind of looked at guys like LaFell and Boyd. And what Dalton ended up doing was kind of just spreading it around to everybody. And then they just won by a lot, so they just were able to run the ball a lot more than we thought they were going to need to.
Right, but, give it to their seven running backs or whatever.
Right, they just ran Jeremy Hill 23 times and Rex Burkhead 8 times. So they just didn't need to pass. So it's one of those things where, like, well, did we learn something? Maybe a little bit. Like, LaFell did get 7 targets, but if the game goes a little differently, where does, you know, who kind of stands out a little bit more? It's sometimes hard to tell, and sometimes one game doesn't tell you all the information you need either.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, in the old what did we learn category, I think that some of these situations where big target guys were out and how those targets were redistributed are worth touching on. So, you know, we have Jeremy Maclin being out in Kansas City, and then, you know, we kind of pictured Tyreek Hill being a bigger beneficiary there rather than Travis Kelce, and maybe it was a matchup thing, you never know for sure, but Kelce obviously wound up going out and having a big day. Interesting note on him for people who are kind of eyeballing him going forward. We were actually kind of spot on in his targets. I mean, he still only had 8 targets, and the fact that he converted those into 8 receptions for a much higher yards per catch than he's accustomed to might mean he's kind of we're in a little bit of a Travis Kelce bubble. Like, right. His targets actually went down by 7, and his 17.5 yards per reception. Just so you know, every season he's averaged almost exactly 12.5 yards per catch. So when those numbers all converge back into normal reality, that comes back down to earth. But still worth noting there that at the very least it didn't turn Tyreek Hill into some sort of fantasy monster. The other big spot was the Detroit situation, which I'm, you know, comfortable saying that we didn't nail totally accurately. We thought Anquan Boldin would, you know, increase his role in the absence of Marvin Jones, and he actually took kind of a step back, and Golden Tate, they leaned on Golden Tate more. So just two situations that I wanted to key in on for you.
Well, it was actually funny. We had Tate's targets correct. We had him for 10 and he got 10. So I was feeling good about that.
A caveat by saying we had him. He just didn't wind up showing up in optimal lineups, and he wasn't in other people's lineups. So I just want to full disclosure thing.
No. And he was a great play. And he was a guy that actually, right when sort of around lock, I sort of regretted that we hadn't taken him up a little further just because, I don't know, who's playing the regret game. He ended up being great. He's a guy that Stafford was clearly wanting to throw to. And actually, Stafford did throw to him deep a couple times. Now, he kind of broke behind a defense on one, and that's how he scored his touchdown, where he sort of fell behind the cornerback and then was able to catch it and just kind of run across the field, if you saw the highlight of that game. But yeah. So it wasn't like he's still not a downfield threat necessarily. Marvin Jones, unclear about his status going into this week. But I think just in general, this speaks to where we are with some of the wide receivers, right? Like there's opportunity that's going to open up. Now, it could mean that what you need to do is, unlike sort of like with the running backs, because you can have three wide receivers and there have been a lot of just different values in the position, you can make a case for just running lots of different lineups with a lot of these cheap but high upside guys. You know, like Doriel Green Beckham was a guy that we looked at pretty hard this week when Jordan Matthews went out. He had been like double-digit targets the week before and then eight, but then he was like a zero-target guy. And so those guys are concerns because you're like, well, he wasn't hurt. They just didn't pass to him at all, right? And so like there's a reason these guys are 3,000. But you can take stabs on a lot of these different guys, and then if you do it enough times, you're going to reduce the variance because you're going to hit on a couple of them because the opportunity is there. It's just going to be hard on a game-to-game basis figuring it out on these super cheap wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure. It's definitely an interesting wrinkle to this season that we haven't totally seen in the past.
And I think what we're going to be a little bit speculative on you know, just some other games for things that we learned is, like, you know, the Bears situation. The Bears, you know, we were wondering about a guy like Matt Barkley. He was coming off a great game the game before, taking over for Cutler, kind of like, you know, targeted Marcus Wilson a decent amount. But then we get this game in the snow where he was, I mean, I think at the end of the first half, he was 0-for-4 or something like that. What do we do with a situation like this where, you know, he ends up going 11-for-18 for 192. He threw to Meredith a couple times, Bellamy, 6 targets, Marcus Wilson gets 0 targets. What do we do with a Bears situation like this where you really can't take many things away from this game because the weather was such an outlier? Like, when we're looking at projections going into this week, what do we do with a team like the Bears?
You know, it reminds me of what we do in basketball from time to time, which is when there's such dramatic extenuating circumstances, I think you just declare that you've learned nothing. And then, because I think you can fall into a trap where you're like, you can never play Marcus Wilson again, or, you know, and maybe you start thinking like, okay, well, he's still got 0 targets, you know, 18 passes were thrown and he didn't get any of them. So that does mean something. It just means a lot less than it would have meant if they played in a dome somewhere. So I think you take it into consideration. It's on your radar, but you don't look at it at the end of the day and say like, yeah, Jordan Howard's now going to get 50 to 35 touches a game and Marcus Wilson's going to get 0, you know? So that's my main takeaway there.
All right. So, and the other thing too is I wonder where you stand on some of these running back situations that have sort of crystallized, though they aren't falling into the total, like the Bell and Johnson guys are just in their own class. So I don't even want to compare them to them, but like we got a guy like Thomas Rawls who gets, you know, is the clear running back one in Seattle now. They seem kind of over whatever his injury and usage concerns were going in. He got 15 carries and probably would have had more, but the game just got out of hand. Guys like him, guys like Latavius Murray had 20 carries. You mentioned McCoy. Carlos Hyde's another guy who's been fairly consistent. He just happens to play on a just crap team. Like, what do we do with running backs like this? You know, their teams are sort of, you know, well, they're all a little different, right? Because Rawls is on a good team, but they play real slow. Hyde's on a bad team, but they don't really have anyone else to give the ball to. And then Latavius Murray's on a team where they just are incentivized to throw a lot because they just have a great quarterback and good wide receivers. Like, so where do we put guys like that into like the realm of just like kind of safe plays on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, well, it's really hard to analyze them, right? Because for some of them, like Rawls, the situation is still somewhat uncertain. I would put him, I guess, like the two camps that I would put them in, generally speaking, are the camp where, you know, there's more to come, like there's more information to learn. And I think that builds a little bit of upside in, right? Because Rawls is sort of priced to what he's done so far, which has been sort of inconsistent, largely thanks to injury-related stuff. So he's a guy I would keep my eye on. And then there's like the Latavius Murray group. I put like Devontae Booker into this group as well. Guys who, the opportunity's there. And when you're looking at it like strictly on a week-to-week basis and you're like, ooh, hey, Devontae Booker, this guy had back-to-back weeks with 24 carries. Carlos Hyde, I think actually almost the exact same guy to me, where it can be sort of a trap to just think like, well, they're going to snap out of it. You know, like Carlos Hyde is getting in there. I mean, he had, let's see here, 20 carries, 92 yards against Chicago. Like, that could have been a thing. Like, imagine if he scored a touchdown. And then you're like, well, he's just on a terrible team. Yeah. And the other way it can go is when they're getting blown out inevitably, then he just loses his opportunity. And then he's an even worse play. Like, his upside is what a high floor game would look like for some of these other good running backs. So I think, unfortunately, like, I don't know what your feeling is on this, but it seems like it's all at once the best top end of running backs that we've had since really daily fantasy became a thing, and the worst middle of the pack.
Well, right, because a lot of these middle-of-the-pack guys fall into this category, like you just said, of either they're not good. Like, Booker's just not good, right? Like, 18 carries, 35 yards.
It's not a good situation, right?
Yeah, right.
He's not providing good value.
And they had no quarterback play, really. I mean, if they're going to have to play Paxton Lynch going forward, they really weren't getting tons and tons out of the quarterback anyway. But, you know, it's some combination of they're not that good, the teams aren't that good, or they just can't be trusted because there's like just enough of a committee, right? And so that is why
it's like Matt Forte is $7,700,
right? And he actually has a good matchup.
30 carries a couple times this season, but he also has 9 last game,
right? And so you're like, you look at him and you'd be like, oh, he's playing the Niners this week, this is great, like what a situation for him.
That's
but
what I mean.
You simply can't trust it. And this is why I started the show by talking about Johnson and Bell, because, and like I said, and Ezekiel Elliott does fall into that category, but I would put him a tier below.
Maybe Melvin Gordon kind of in that Ezekiel Elliott category for me.
Right, exactly. Guys that are just going to be on the field for 3 downs. The team is fine doing, you know, using them in just different facets of the game. But this just really speaks to the amount of safety you get from those two top guys. Like, they're a bad game for them is 22 to 25 touches. And that's when things aren't going that well. Like, it's just an insane thing. And this is why, this is why we just end up not playing. This is why we just end up not playing these middle tier backs, because they just don't, you just can't trust them enough. It's so close, right? Like, if you just could give Latavius Murray 24 carries on lock, then he'd be fine, right? And or Melvin Gordon, if you could just give him 24 carries on and feel really good about that number, even 24 is high. If you give him 22, you would feel good about it, but you just simply can't. And teams just don't want to play that kind of game. They just either don't trust it enough, their team's not good enough, the game script doesn't work out. There's just myriad of factors, and it's different for every guy. So
turns out Jay Ajayi is in that category too. He looked like he was going to head in the safe direction. Just going down this list, like, you got a committee in New Orleans where Mark Ingram can score 29 fantasy points 1 week and 8 the following week. Like, it just goes on and on and on. Todd Gurley's not a real running back anymore from a fantasy perspective, and he was a $9,000 guy last season. Lamar Miller, like you mentioned, he bottomed out. He's still $7,200. I mean, the guy scored 3 fantasy points last week. So you're just kind of in this no man's land where basically you have an interesting high end, a whole sea of guys that are just way too expensive from what you can expect on them on a week-to-week basis. And then you have some guys like towards the bottom, Rashad Jennings in that category too. Like, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And so running back, unfortunately, I think just becomes a little bit boring. Like, there's not a lot of interesting stuff going on the bottom end. And then you just wind up playing the most expensive guys. I don't know.
And this is why I was like, this
doesn't lend itself to a lot of interesting analysis, unfortunately.
This is why I said we end up copy and pasting the Bell and Johnson thing. Real quick about the Rams and Gurley. I mean, the Rams are such a mess, and we're not the first people, we're like the thousandth people to talk about this, but there was probably the funniest thing of the entire week, and it actually just became like sort of like a viral video, was Jeff Fisher after signing that 2-year contract extension, which just had people, like, people just didn't even know how to analyze it. Like, their brains broke, because they're just like, how is this guy continuing to get things? And then he sort of solidifies his know-nothingness by going for a challenge flag, and he can't find his flag. Like, he can't, like, I don't know if you saw this video, but he just couldn't, like, this referee standing next to him, because they're going to challenge, like, I think it was a catch by Britt, and he just is searching through his pockets because he just can't find the flag. And I was like, man, if anything sums up the whole entire Rams, like, just tenure under Jeff Fisher, it's like this thing where he's just like, not only do I, like, not have an iPad or, like, not even, like, even have any play calling stuff in front of me, I simply don't even know where my flag is. And, like, if you can't figure that kind of stuff out, your team's a total mess. Anyway, I know it doesn't have to do with daily fantasy. It was the perfect way to encapsulate, like, what that team is. Because Gurley should be a guy that we see on, like, this upper end of touches, because, like, the talent is there, but just the team is so bad. So, anyway, all being said.
So, all things said, you have a very limited pool at running back. And I think that's actually really it's the combination of not a lot of great teams, like not a lot of teams run the ball very well this season, and the fact that the guys who are like sort of good are just very expensive, and or just like the sites for whatever reason this season have changed their pricing model a little bit or their algorithms. And so you're really only choosing between like 6 or 7 guys each week until we get some injury concerns. And while it hasn't happened much so far, like, we're definitely going to still keep our eye out for that, because that's kind of a gambler's fallacy thing. Like, just because there haven't been a lot of new jobs opening up in the running back department, right, Doesn't mean there won't be. But yeah, as of right now, it's a pretty chalky position. And actually, in the same vein, I think it'd be interesting to talk about quarterback a little bit this week, because I think a lot of people are going to be left with a pretty uncertain taste in their mouth after we just got some really erratic performances from some big names. Do you have any thoughts there?
Well, I think, you know, the Breeze game is going to throw a lot of people off. Whenever you have a 40% or so cash game start, which is, I think, somewhere around where he was.
Spot on.
When you have that kind of game and he's so bad, it really does it can make it for bad analysis, right? Like, to me, it was just a bad game. It's going to happen every once in a while. It just happened to be on the week that you played him. People get a very egotistical look at, like, their own lineups, and they'll say things. I mean, this is something I could not hear anymore just throughout the whole entire DFS world, is so-and-so screwed me last time, so I'm not playing him again. I know we've hammered home this, why this is such a bad idea on a week-to-week basis to, like, use this as any kind of analysis. That game will throw you off. To me, that's just it's just an outlier on Breeze. It was just unlucky that he had this game. Like, his track record and his sample size is plenty big enough at this point that I don't think you need to worry about a guy like him. You know, you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers, whose game was thrown off a little bit, but there was some serious weather concerns there. The snow was just dumping down for him, and even then, he wasn't, like, horrible, all things considered.
He went 20 for 30 with two touchdowns. Like, give the guy a break.
You're right. So, like, he's still fine to me. There's, like, there is a class of quarterback, and it really is guys like Breeze. It is guys like Rodgers. That, now, the problem with Rodgers this week, he just has to play Seattle, right? And so, like, we're gonna have some matchup issues going in here this week, where there are some pretty bad defenses playing, though, where it's going, like, sort of the other way is you don't feel great about it. Like, you get New Orleans again. Like, Stafford was able to kind of carve up New Orleans last week, but now it's Jameis Winston. Like, how great do you feel about that? It's, like, a little bit unclear. You know, we mentioned Kaepernick. You really can't go back to the well there. I don't even know who New Orleans plays. New Orleans plays Tampa Bay, but Breeze is still very expensive, and Tampa Bay actually hasn't been too bad on defense. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting week at quarterback. I can see us not paying top dollar for a guy this week, just because I suspect there's going to be some middle tier value in guys who just do enough, right? Like Stafford against Chicago or something like that. Although he's pretty expensive, I don't know. So I'm sort of all over the place with quarterbacks, but it just doesn't. It is totally a different situation than, like, the running backs or even receivers, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a great take. You know, unlike running backs or receivers, where we now have this kind of emerging pattern or trend where the track record is such that, like, you can just look at running back as a position as a whole and be like, this position has just kind of sucked this year relative to their prices on the sites. And quarterback really hasn't been that way. I think we actually still have a lot of good options, and I'll definitely put Rodgers and Breeze in that category. We'll be happy to roster them again. And I think that, like, a lot of people are going to come out of this week probably feeling unduly pessimistic about the quarterback position, and I don't think that's where your head wants to be if you want to succeed going forward.
No, I'm totally with you, and I think, you know, as we get into putting up to projections this week, you can just already tell it's going to be an interesting one, because there's a lot of good players facing good defenses, and when that happens, you are sort of put to the test on what you can stomach in terms of playing a certain guy. And this is the thing that this is like, it was easy to roster Breeze last week because it was, like, in the dome against the Lions. Lions are, like, a fine-ish defense, but, like, they had the highest over under of the week. It's Breeze. He plays great at home. You really didn't need, like, any projection system to sort of tell you that he was a fine play, right? Like, you could just, like, look at, like, some weekly rankings and, like, feel, which are, like, totally useless when it comes to DFS usually. But, like, in this case, it was just kind of fine. Like, you know, you could look at weekly rankings and be like, you just didn't need a system to tell you to play sort of Breeze, Johnson, Bell, right? Like, that combination in some way. But that's not going to be the case here. You're going to have to stomach playing somebody and doesn't maybe look so great to you, buddy. I think that's going to be what happens here for week 14. All right, we will be We will be back on Thursday, where we break down our value plays for week 14, and then back again Friday for our game by game breakdown, which we've gotten some really great feedback on. So we're excited to talk some more NFL later on in the week. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com or dfsr.com for short. Head over, free 3-day trial, projection system, all that jazz from Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all set to go, buddy. Off to take a real, real deep dive on NFL projections. You excited?
Oh, man, I literally cannot wait.
Let's do it.